If I was playing Wordle right now, I would guess, I would type in monkey and it would tell me which letters were right and which letters are in the right place. And then I would see, this is a disaster.
Is that true? Is that the way that works?
What's happening right now, Dad? What are you doing? Have you played Wordle?
No, I haven't.
What the f*** are we doing right now?
Okay, hang on.
What do you think Wordle is?
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
I feel like I'm on witness protection. I'm backlit. I'm dark. You two look great in the Zoom. I look dark and sinister. This is how I want to look. When I picture myself in the mirror, I'm like purple. Yeah. You know, I like have a real sinister. Oh, there it goes. What happened?
You are kind of looking like a Batman villain right now.
Thank you.
If you want to see what he looks like, go check out the Miami Herald YouTube page, because we've been doing preview videos every week, and you will see the ominous look of Greg Cody this week.
That's Does right. this make us YouTubers?
Oh, God.
I mean, you've been one for a while.
We're like the Paul brothers.
That ranks just above Tucker's on the spectrum.
I love how you're like dismissing those two genres, Dad, because like TikTokers and YouTubers are like making bank these days.
I know, it's unbelievable. It's sad.
I really wanted to get you off the ground as a TikToker. We started, we did a couple, they were big hits, and I feel like we got to get back to that. Get you doing the hip TikTok dances.
Right. All right, listen.
Did you just burp?
You're listening to the Greg Cody Show. You all know that. I don't got to tell you that. I want to tell you something. Thursday, I was in the Le Batard Show instead of Tuesday this week. And here's what I hear during a break. I hear someone say to me, Chris is a good dancer. And this is harking back to Austin. And an unnamed person who was on that trip
really
told me that you were, quote unquote, cutting a rug. And I didn't make that up. That's like something old that I would say. She said you were cutting a rug in an Austin honky tonk.
Wow. She said
that. Thank you. It was either Hildy or Jessica, because they were both at the honky tonk in Austin. This was on Monday night. This was our rap party, I guess. This was after all our work was done.
Okay.
The flight was the next day.
So rap music was playing?
No, it's called like, you know, when are you like,
I know.
Yeah. Okay. And, but it was really fun. It was, which one of them told you? I want to know who the
Hildy. It was okay. Hildy.
Yeah. I mean, Hildy
were you doing the boot scoot and the boogie?
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, Hildy was trying to get everybody to dance. And I was just one of the victims that like fell that actually like went out there. But, I did cut up a rug. I let loose. It was fun. There was good music playing. There was a lot of people dancing. Me and Juju Gotti were out there cutting it up. That was a lot of fun, actually. Yes, I was. I was guilty as charged on the cutting up.
Okay, what did you dance to? Do you remember the music?
It was like a rock band. They were playing a mixture of what felt like, I think, original music for them and definitely some like just classic hits. Don't ask me to like think of one. It was I can't think of one off the, like what one of the hits were, but it was just good rock music.
Right.
It wasn't like country. I know you think Austin and you're thinking like honky tonk and you're thinking it's all country. No, it was more like rock, I'd say, than country. Right.
Who was the better dancer? Hildy or Jessica?
Well, Hildy got out there more. They were both good dancers. I'm not going to do this thing and badmouth anyone's dancing. Like,
oh, I wouldn't.
When you're in that kind of like vibe, you're just out there having fun. Like I wasn't. Like Hildy is saying that I'm cutting. Like I was doing a lot of ridiculous things that I'm sure wasn't good dancing. So,
right.
I just was fearless. If you're fearless with dancing, then you're a good dancer. That's the way I look.
Yeah,
at
for
it.
Sure. Right.
Hildy was.
I
fearless.
Only dance at.
I got to give Hildy. The credit in terms of like she was the most fearless of all of us. Like she was dancing with people we didn't know. Like Hildy was just having a great time.
Wow. And for the audience who don't know Hildy, explain who she is in the Le Batard Show universe.
She's like the office manager for us. Like she is the best. She does everything from organizing our travel plans to ordering lunch for us every day to just anything we need, helping us with props for Grid of Death punishments, like she, anything we need involving the show, she will do it.
Right. And she also does this, which is why I went to her today. She gives me the parking voucher, which saves me like $75 each week when I park in the garage. So segueing from you dancing and cutting up a rug, I want to quiz you guys because I saw something on the internet that relates to music, and this interested me. They had a list of musical acts that you would be shocked have never had a number one hit.
Mm-hmm.
I want you guys to each nominate just one band or individual who people would be shocked have never had a number one hit. And then I will tell you, I know it, but I will tell you my nominee.
This is really interesting because, like, Aerosmith would have made this list, you know, before the movie Armageddon came out. I would have thought that they would have had a number one hit with some of the bangers they had, but they never did until I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. I think that was their first number one hit.
Correct.
And so, but I don't know much about chart positions and where things rank, so this will be interesting.
Yeah, I'm just going to, just to play this game, I don't have any clue. I'm going to say Rush.
Okay. I would be less surprised about them. I don't know that the Foo Fighters have ever had a number one hit, but I want to guess even more shocking, and I want to go out on a limb and wonder, have the Killers ever had a number one hit? I don't know, but I would be shocked.
Yeah. What was the Killers' big hit? They had like Mr.
Brightside is probably their biggest.
Yes.
It wasn't their breakout single, but that's probably their biggest and most well-known.
Right.
We have Found Yeti's Wheelhouse.
True. I want to name drop here, and some of these are more in my wheelhouse than yours because I'm older. Never had a number one hit, Bad Company, Creedence Clearwater Revival, Bob Dylan, ELO,
Bob Dylan,
Journey, Kiss, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Pearl Jam, Chili Peppers, REM, Steely Dan, Sting, Supertramp, Tom Petty.
Wow.
I mean, I was blown away by some of these names.
That's wild.
Charts.
Never had a number one hit.
Free Fallen was not a number one hit.
Never a number one. But let me tell you what really shocked me the most was Springsteen. Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Now that blows my mind.
Yeah, it blew my mind too. Now he wrote a number one hit for somebody else, Blinded by the Light.
Yeah.
For Manfred Mann. But he never in his own voice had a number one hit. His closest was Dancing in the Dark, which spent 4 weeks at number two. So anyway,
that one went higher than Born to Run. I am very shocked about that. Wow.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I wonder what he would say if you ask him, like, how does it feel that like one of the songs that you wrote, but not for yourself, was the number one hit, but you've never gotten
it. I know.
Like, I feel like that's got to kind of like,
he'd probably show that 500 and some odd million dollars they just sold his catalog for and say, it feels pretty damn good, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, the royalty checks feel pretty good on Blinded by the Light.
I like that. Creedence Clearwater Revival, Bad Moon Rising was the first song I ever learned how to play on guitar.
Really?
It's not the song that made me want to play guitar, but that was just the first one that I could figure out. So,
wow.
I'm not so surprised that they never had a number one, but yeah, Springsteen, yeah, that is probably the more shocking out
but
of the
But the Levitard Show has had a number one hit. No, we haven't. I'm kidding.
But you did officially chart.
On iTunes. Yeah,
that's true. In the top one, Billboard Top 100.
Oh, wait a minute. Billboard came out. Where did we chart on Billboard?
76, something like that.
Wow.
I did say we.
I think Mike said 76.
76 trombones. See, that's Billboard is the Bible of the charts. Okay. I follow the chart. And some of these groups on this list didn't surprise me because they weren't singles artists. They weren't used to having big hits, like Deep Purple.
I love how you say that you follow the charts when you were in an album that was on the charts and you didn't know.
you think if there was anything you would have been looking for on the charts, it would have been your name.
Yeah.
Or the thing you were involved in.
I do look forward to the Grammys. I will say that. Can we talk sports just a little bit? Because we're in the, and we don't normally do this. This is ostensibly a sports podcast, but we hardly do it. NCAA tournament, March Madness, I am intrigued not by the tournament, but by the phenomenon
Terminate.
Of it. You know, why people love this three-week orgy of college basketball every year.
I don't get it, honestly.
Yeah, I know you don't.
Maybe it's because of... Like, I went to FAU, and the Owls have just never been a basketball program that, like...
Right.
I'll put the games on, sure. Like, tonight, I'll throw on a game or two and see if there's a good finish I can watch. Like, all I'm interested in is the last couple minutes. Like, these brackets, like, everyone's guessing. It's such a crapshoot. Like, I'm all for a good pool. Like, I love a Super Bowl. Like, Super Bowl boxes, way better than March Madness pools, in my opinion. It just doesn't do it for me. I mean, I'm good to watch the Final Four because I like games with stakes, but just as a whole, I don't get it.
I used to care a lot more, but I've kind of grown out of it. Growing up a Tar Heel fan, I always had a reason to pay attention. But like, even college basketball was one of the sports where I really had a hard time watching during the season unless it was my team. And of course, I was all in. Right. But you know, but the tournament comes to play, the NCAA tournament comes to play, and that one there have been a few times where I've scheduled days off of work for that opening weekend.
Especially you followed it during the season.
Yeah, you're making fun of me for my use.
I'm just making fun of the way you say during.
Yeah, during. Yes. I'm not stupid. It's during. during the season, man. I used to watch every day, man, at Tobacco Road.
You always do this. Like when I call you out on these things, I don't hear you saying those things very southerny. I mean, I guess that is what you are doing there, but that doesn't say, like when you do the Tuesday and the during, that to me isn't like, shucks, man, like that. I don't hear that twang there. It's really just a different affect that you have. It's just, I like it. It's just unique.
I used to pay a lot more attention during the season, but... Fantastic.
Fantastic. That's another dollar.
But, you know, since I've gotten married, my wife doesn't love watching sports, and I'll always choose hanging out with her and watching, like, a movie with her than sports. Dude, because
she doesn't listen to this podcast. You don't have to suck up to her here. You can say how you really feel.
Yeah, I was shaking my head at that. Come on. Get real. I know. I love my family so much. God, I love my family.
I'll always prefer to read a nice book alongside with... Give my wife a foot massage instead of watching sports. I'm Yeti Blanc from the Greg Cody Show.
Look, nocturnal meanderings have never followed an NCAA tournament game.
Yeah.
Just okay. For me.
Well, yeah. I start paying attention during the Sweet 16, to be honest.
I think you're faking it too. You don't start.
See, that's
paying
actually going to start fading out. I lose excitement by you know the time the first couple of weekends are gone. It's not. I would get so excited and exhausted to where I couldn't keep up the following weekend.
Dad, I've known you my whole life. I've never seen you get excited about a college basketball game. Not one.
Okay. All right. Well, here's what interests me about March Madness.
You better be in witness protection because this is such a bold-faced lie you're making.
No, it's a psychological study. And I was into psychology in college. It was almost my major, which not a lot of people know. The psychology of March Madness is that we all root for the underdog, which is not a big shock. But 90% of us go through life. We don't think of ourselves as Coach K and dominant Duke. Okay, we think of ourselves as the St. Peter's Peacocks, you know, the 16 seed, the classic underdog, and we root for the underdog. So when you look at why March Madness is the phenomenon it is, it's not because of the brackets or gambling, it's because we're looking in the mirror and we are seeing ourselves in UMBC, which 5 years ago became the only number 16 seed to ever beat a number one. We root for those teams, and it's a psychological thing. And it's also the opposite is a psychological term called Schadenfreude, which is that we like to see the mighty fall. And the theory there is that if your elderly neighbor can't pay her rent, you feel very bad for her. But if you read that Jeff Bezos has lost $1 billion today, you don't feel bad. Okay, he deserves it, he can afford it, blah, blah, blah. That's Schadenfreude. And that's part of why we follow March Madness. We're praying, we're rooting for the underdog.
I'm going to take the Stu Gatz lane here. Like, we want to see an upset in the first round, but we don't want that team to make it all the way. Like, get out of here. No one wants to see UMBC, you know, MSNBC in their in their final four. Okay, give me Duke.
Never give me Duke.
Give me Kentucky. Give me the good teams, because even the good teams, the product is so much less than the NBA. Like it's not even, if it's going to be, you know, Georgia State versus UMBC, like I'm good on that.
Do you guys have any tricks to your trade when you are filling out a bracket? Do you like have any method to your madness?
We all do the same thing. You're like, all right, I got to pick a 12 to beat a 5. I got to take Gotta take a couple. Gotta pick all the nines. Gonna pick all the nines. Like, you know how it goes. Like, it's like no one knows what they're doing.
Me, I always send UNC all the way through to win the championship, and I write Duke out in the first round every time.
Duke?
Just because. Just out. Yes, Duke. Duke. Look, Duke is puke. Wake is fake. The team I hate is NC State. You can't go to heaven in a red canoe because God's favorite color is Carolina blue.
Okay. Did I just hear you say you can't go to heaven in a red canoe?
Zagaki.
Okay. I have no idea what that means. Here's my thought on brackets. I don't fill out brackets. I have not filled one out this year. But when I look at brackets, if I'm looking at your bracket and in your final four, you have two number ones and two number twos, I hate you. The whole idea of a bracket is that you need to take a chance. You got to have an 8 seed or a 9 seed who you're saddling up and riding into Cinderella heaven.
What?
You have to have a supreme underdog.
You probably never win these things either. Like, that's terrible strategy.
I don't.
That was a wonderful I hate you from Greg. I loved that so much.
Yeah,
that was splendid.
Yeah. You got to go like three number ones and a number three. That's the way. Like, no. I don't like these brackets, it's but that's the easy. Obvious. But that's what always ends up happening.
That's why it's obvious.
I like to try to fit a 5 seed in if I can in the final four.
Yeah. No, you have to have a low seed. I mentioned the St. Peter's Peacocks. You got to ride a team like that.
Disco Turkeys even.
You know, Sister Jean, Loyola Ramblers. You gotta saddle up a true underdog.
I had a friend in college that named his penis St. Peter's Peacock.
Okay.
Cocking it.
I don't know where to go with that.
Let's just sit in it.
Mainly because I have no idea if you're kidding or not.
I am.
It would be a great nickname.
Should we go to commercial right now?
Maybe we should.
Nope, I think we should sit in it a little longer.
We should sit in St. Peter's Peacock a little longer.
Whoa.
Yes, let it sit, as a famous man once said to me.
Now we can go to commercial.
Look at you, the cool stare, the confident air, the Whittingham hair, and all because you dared to dream big. That's right, you put a Lobo's Mint under your pillow, and the magic ensued, Daddy-O. How can I tell?
He'll tell you.
The way you own the room in a way that can't be bought. You walked in like you were walking onto a yacht. Your hair strategically dipped below one eye. Your ascot was apricot. Wait, what?
What?
That's right. The Lobo's Mint has raised the station of many a man and elevated the elegance of women across the land. And all they had to do was put a Lobo's Mint under their pillow and dream. Note, consumer reports found Lobo's Mints were more effective against halitosis when ingested rather than left under a pillow. Lobo's Mints do not guarantee success in fantasy football or a top 10 ranking among national sports columnists, and Lobo's Mints are not a drug or aphrodisiac.
Okay.
They'll freshen your breath,
freshen
your smile, your very outlook on life. It's your first taste of a dream come true. Lobo's Mints.
Business can't be going well for Lobo's Mints. I don't care about that ad promotion. Like, it just, like, there's no way we've helped the business of Lobo's Mints.
Wow. That's harsh. Why do you say that?
Chris, I've had a few testimonials where people have been putting their Lobo's Mint under their pillow and dreaming very big. Now,
that's right.
The jury's still out on whether or not the dreams have come true.
I haven't been having big dreams lately. Maybe I should buy some Lobo Mints.
Maybe you should. Make sure it's under your Sheets and Giggles wrapped pillow.
Right. Damn right. But Dad, before, I think we should do Mount Gregmore right now. I know usually I like to bury Mount Gregmore at the back because I hate it. But
right.
We have something coming down the pike this episode that I fear is going to be worse than Mount Gregmore, which is some word game you want to play. So I think...
Yeah, I do. I'm excited about
it. I'm using my executive producer pull, and I'm calling an audible, and I'm calling for Mount Gregmore right now, and I'm going to put the word... disaster on the back burner. So let's do the Mount Gregmore now. Hey, Yeti, hit the imaging.
Okay. Well, hey. Welcome to the latest edition of Mount Greg Moore. I'm excited about this because we don't do this a lot.
I can't see your face to know whether you're excited, so it's good to, good to hear.
I'm sinister. It's an outline. It's a black outline. It's a beautiful thing. Welcome to the latest edition of Mount Greg Moore. This one, the MG of the weirdest guests we have had on this podcast. You know, we just celebrated our 2-year anniversary in our 100th episode. So it's time for a quick traipse down memory lane.
God, we are such a narcissistic podcast.
First, the honorable mention.
Oh, God, how many
folks who narrowly missed our top 5 weirdest guests? The Dolphins fan of the year, the world record hot pepper eater, former Dolphins publicist Harvey Green.
Oh my God, you're just naming all the guests. Like
a psychic.
Dad,
another guy named Greg Cody.
That guy didn't make the top 5. Gosh. I can't believe Harvey. Nope. Like, Dad, I love Harvey Green. He does not deserve to make this list.
That's how good this list is. The other guy named Greg Cody did not make it. And you know who else didn't? Uncle Dick. That too didn't make it. Now, number 5. It was raining cats and dogs in episode 41 of 2020 when we had on Dr. Zazie Todd, animal psychologist.
That was awesome.
Number 4.
It was good setup.
He whistles while he works because whistling is his work. It was episode 4 of 2021 when we welcomed in Robert Stemmons, professional whistler.
It's debatable whether he actually does that for work still, but, you know, at one point.
Number 3. If you needed a hug, you virtually got one in episode 2 of 2021. It was a hug and a little spooning of a non-sexual nature from Lisa Van Arsdale, professional snuggler. Number 2, Greg goes back to his roots in episode 42 of 2021, back to 1440 with childhood neighbor Gary the Bag Rosenfeld.
I love that one.
I can't believe you're about to have Dave Barry at number 1.
And number 1. It was in episode 22 last summer. It was from a wood panel den in Tupelo, Mississippi. It was about 4:15 a.m. It was me getting my protruding navel examined by Dr. John Roberts, belly button doctor.
Wow, it didn't even happen on the Greg Cody Show.
It aired on our air.
Re-aired.
And we aired on the side of it airing on our air. How about that?
It's the second reference to an elderly navel today.
That makes me feel uneasy. I can't believe Dave Barry, who I believe you've said to people is your favorite interview in the history of this thing.
Like, I know, but
the
bit here was not greatest guest, not favorite guest. It was weirdest guest.
So Harvey Green is just weird as a person?
Oh, yeah. No, he's weird as a guest because he's a media relations guy. I'm in the media. I know him very well. I had dinner with him a few nights ago with Leslie Visser and a few other people, not to drop a name.
Wow.
But
that name.
You know, but I know Harvey because of what I do for a living. Yeah, nobody else knows Harvey
Green. But that's a typical Greg Cody move to have like this. It's very, very on par of Greg Cody to be like, you know what? I know who Harvey Green is. Let's have him on.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a boffo episode, by the way. He's got some stories to tell, half of which he won't tell. That's the problem. No, it is the problem with him. He's an interesting dude. Shall we play the Wordle game?
I guess.
Should we pad that and let the people alleviate themselves from the suffering of Mount Gregmore by maybe playing a little show song that we've got for you?
Let's do it. Let's do it till we're satisfied.
A song.
All right, Greg. This one's just for you, taking it straight out of your era. We just recently heard a Beach Boys parody on the Levitard show, but...
From Jer Bear.
From Jer Bear, my friend Jeremy Taché. Now, his may have made it on air first, but I wrote mine first. Not petty at all. Here's the song, Greg Cody Tuesday, on Greg Cody Show Radio.
It's hot, then he talks and he's coughing again now. He forgot the show is going and he bumps him to the microphone stand now. Yeah, he's got a podcast and he mentions it as much as he can now. And the show comes undone every Greg Cody Tuesday.
back.
Bravissimo.
Yeti's back, everyone.
That was fantastic.
Thank you.
Clearly inspired by Jeremy, but he's back. We know, Yeti, you wrote it first.
That is how to do it. Now, that was great. Love Jeremy's, but this may have the edge, yeah. I have to say. Of course, I'm a little prejudicial.
This is more show topical, I'd say. Like, Jeremy's was pretty standard with Ja Morant.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, there's my granddaughter. Hi, Gracelyn. She can't hear me. What am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. She doesn't have headphones on. She's capering through the room. I'm saying hi, Gracelyn, to a shut door. Story of my life. Gracelyn, love you. Will you speak at my funeral?
Jesus.
Too soon? I know.
There are very few things on the show that get me every time, like at the rate that they do when you try to talk to Gracelyn when she can't hear you. It is doddering Greg Cody at his finest.
It really is.
Okay.
And then like it's like insulted when she can't, like, oh, you can't hear me?
Yeah. I am insulted.
All right, let's do this word game. Moment, this can't be a disaster. It's got to be great, right? This can't be a disaster.
Well, you know how Wordle works, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Our version is called what?
Girdle.
Girdle. That's correct.
Wordle is quite a visual experience. So I'm wondering how we're going
to
pull this off.
We're going to bring it to life. We're going to make it visual for you, the listener. And you know what? It's like pretend like you have the home game, the home version of this game. You can play along at home.
Explain how it works.
Okay. It's six letters and you get five guesses to solve the word.
Okay.
Okay, Christopher, you go first.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Are we getting different words?
Yes, different words.
Okay, so this is all six letters, and I get five guesses.
Right. And I tell you whether you have it right in the exact order or have it right but not in the exact order. Okay, Christopher, go.
Okay. Trying to think of a six-letter word with no repeating letters. I will say...
It can have a repeating letter.
I know it can, Dad, but if you're, you know, I'm going to say... Monkey.
Wait a minute. You're playing this game wrong. You have to give me a letter. You don't play Wordle?
Have you? Wordle is you guess Girdle? A word. If I was playing Wordle right now, I would type in monkey and it would tell me which letters were right and which letters are in the right place. And then I would see this is a disaster.
Is that true? Is that the way that works?
What's happening right now, Dad? What are you doing? Have you played Wordle?
No, I haven't. Actually.
What the f*** are we doing right now?
Okay. Hang on.
What do you think Wordle is?
All right, hang on. We're going to get this train back on the rail. All right, so you said monkey, and there's two letters in monkey that are in my word.
All right, so now you tell me, and are any of them in the same space that they are in the word monkey?
No, but you have two of the correct letters.
Tell me which letters.
And those E.
So that's only one. So E, it's a one letter.
No, wait a minute. One letter, yes.
Jesus Christ, Dad. One. This is such a not a visual. Like you're, if you're gonna just, if this is only gonna be audible, you have to like make sense when you're talking.
All right, give me your other one.
So now second I have. One. So I know there's an E in there. Okay.
You know there's an E in there.
This is so.
There's
bad.
There's two E's. There's two E's in there.
This is okay. You weren't supposed to tell me that. This is so bad, Dad. Like this is great. This is one of those things where you always win because the audience is cracking up right now. But like,
all right, keep going.
You have screwed us with this. Okay.
What's your second guess?
I'm going to say remote.
Third guess.
What letters are there? Any of those like other than the two E's, are any of those letters in remote? I see. I used MO again. I shouldn't have used remote because I used monkey last time. Why would I use MO again? God,
that's why I said
this is dumb. Well, Dad, Yeti, help me. You guess too, Dad. We're not doing each of us with two words. This is taking forever. I'm going to
guess a letter. First, I'll take potent potables for 200,
this
please.
This isn't how you play Wordle. There's not letters. It's not. This isn't.
We're playing Wheel of Fortune essentially.
This is not Wheel of Fortune.
What's your third guess,
Dad? I want to know how you think Wordle went. Like, what did you think you were doing? Did you think this is Wheel of Fortune?
I've never played it.
Did you think this was Wheel of Fortune?
All right,
did you
just want to say?
I'm going to guess a letter. Greg, can I guess F?
Yeah.
You just wanted to say girdle.
All right, no F's. Fourth guess.
What about a U?
This is not no how U's. This game last is played. Guess. This is
C.
No C's.
What about a all K? Right.
No, you all have failed. And the letter, the name you did not guess, the word you did not guess Nelly. N-E-L-L-I-E.
I hate this.
All right,
this.
We're playing the second word now.
No, we're not. Right, this is it. This is the last one.
This is the last one.
Dad. This is really all right. bad.
All right, you guys can team up on this. What's your first guess?
Gregory has seven letters, so it's not Gregory.
All right, we got to think narcissism here. That's a good idea by you.
Right.
How many letters?
Dead air.
Gracelyn. I don't know how many letters are in her name.
Gracelyn.
No, six letters.
Oh, that's actually, no, she's got seven.
That's more than six letters. I won't count that as your first guess.
This is so bad.
Everyone in your family has seven letters. Wilfred, Richard,
That's more than
seven. Gregory.
So bad. This is terrible.
All right, I'll just give you this, all right? Because you guys don't know how to play it properly.
You don't know how to play Wordle. You thought we're supposed to be guessing letters. That's never Wordle.
I told you I've never played the game.
Yeah. I've never played the game.
I have.
You know what? We're gonna play this in the future where a proper game.
You always win though, because this is funny. Because this is funny. I got a word for you. F you.
Go ahead. That's more than six letters. You're disqualified. No, the answer is pirate.
I hate you. This is so dumb.
P-I-R-A-T-E.
Okay.
Oh, thank you, Greg.
Ah, yeah. Pirate radio, wow. Yes.
And there you go.
That is one of the classic moments in this podcast history. You trying to mock Wordle, not knowing how Wordle works. You just wanted to say girdle. You're like,
I thought it was a name where you guess a letter.
You thought it was Wheel of Fortune.
I didn't know what it was. I should have looked that up. So you just, I should have versed myself in
you
Wordle.
You thought in your mind, you're like Wordle, girdle, boom, idea thought of.
Like, yeah,
that's the thought. That's the amount of thought you put in it. Dad, you guess a word, you write out the full word, and it tells you which of those letters is in the actual word, and if you got it in the right spot. So if it's green, that means that the M in monkey is not only in that word, but it's the first letter. So you know the word starts with M.
Yeah. Okay. I'm remiss. Yeah. I did not verse myself in how to play this game properly. And the next time we get back to Girdle, we're gonna know how to do it. I promise you that. Okay. I apologize, people.
You shouldn't apologize because you always win. Like it was funny. Like that worked as a bit because of how terrible you were.
Well, I made a good faith effort.
No, you didn't.
Not everything pans out.
You made literally zero effort.
But you just gave us the thing we can promote now because this was just chef's kiss. Damn it, I did it again, Yeti, with the chef's kiss.
Yeah, you did. That's a dollar fine.
Some guy called me out on that in Austin. Some guy was like, you said, because I think I said it on stage in Austin or something. I don't know. I was talking to some fan after and he was just like, he's like, yeah, he called you out on it. I think you did it again here. I'm like, I know. It's a crutch.
Yeah.
I'm doing it too much at this point.
What was the Austin experience like as far as meeting the crowd? Like, this is your first remote experience since New York.
Yeah. I mean, it was on par with all of those, you know, all these Moss Miami events we've done and the Gramercy show in New York. Like, it makes you feel like a rock star. It's ridiculous. Like, after the show, we all plot out places and there's like lines of people like wanting to just come up and say hi. It's really cool, Dad. I actually had a really cool moment with an older gentleman, a nice guy. I'm an asshole because I remember I had a nice 5-minute conversation with him. Then I asked him his name because I felt really like we connected, but I don't remember names. I talk about this on this week's Cinephile with Adnan, how I am terrible with names. Like, people, I shake someone's hand. Like, even people in my like, you know, my wife's work parties and stuff. Like, I see people, I've known them for years. I just am terrible with names. So long story short, I met this guy, Dad. He was very concerned about your health, very worried about your voice, especially in that last episode. I was talking to Alex Benson, Dad, and he was praising our JT Daily interview, but just saying, like, thank God. He was basically praising me because of how terrible your voice was that episode. He just was like, yeah, thank God you were there, because I almost turned it off with how bad your dad's voice was. But back to the compliment. The guy was basically just saying that, you know, he's worried about you. And it was a nice moment of, like, a guy seeming genuinely concerned about you and, you know, and he could tell, even though I always give you shit, that, you know, I really love you. So it was just a nice moment of us talking about you. Well,
I have seen several comments on Twitter, like in the undercurrent of people, like, being legitimately, like, after last episode, people were really shocked and worried.
Yeah.
And I was listening to another podcast where they mentioned that too. They're like, it's almost like it makes me kind of sad. I'm so worried for Greg that he's just going to keel over.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think early in the pandemic, we had a string of really bad voice episodes, and last one was really bad.
It was the worst.
You are sounding much more improved this week.
Yeah. The last one was the worst.
How did that, not to get too inside of your, medical stuff, but I went to that doctor's appointment with you, and you were given some kind of extra boost of a medication. Have you seen a difference?
I think I have. Yeah. I'm going to mention it because it may help other people. It's a 5-day regimen of pills called prednisone, which is a mild steroid. And what it does is it loosens up your throat. If you have any vocal cord issues, it sort of relaxes that.
I think it even goes down into like your stomach area too. Like it kind of just, it gets rid of inflammation kind of everywhere.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. So we're taking care of it. I'm in the process of hiring an ENT that I'm going to go see. So it's all good. I appreciate people being concerned because the last episode, I think for the first time ever, I know sometimes my voice is shit, but in the last episode, in my ear, I could hear how terrible it was. And I was almost embarrassed to open my mouth because I just knew how terrible it was. And it was too bad because, the JT interview, I was very proud of. I thought it went well. And I wish I could have been more a part of it.
Honestly. I just love you it taking your voice, what it was last episode, for you to be like, you know what? I think I hear it. I think I now get what everyone's talking about with my whole voice. Dad, I think this is about time in the episode where we wrap up because you want to do something and annoy me at my, on Sunday, we're recording this part prior to Sunday. You want to do some live.
Ooh, yeah.
You want to do some live.
Oh, yeah. Oh, baby. We're coming at you live.
Whatever the hell that is.
Magic City Casino, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what I'm saying. Let me tell the audience. I mean, Jesus. Okay, it was that was a weird 20 seconds.
I know. Sorry about that. I love going low because that's the only time I can trust my voice. When I go real low like this.
So on Sunday, I'll be out in my owner debut with my Cesta Cyclones. We're playing the first place Wall Warriors. We are, I think, 2 points behind them. So it is within reaching distance. But my dad, of course, doesn't want to just let me live. He wants to have a phone in my face recording audio so we can, give a live update from that. So you will hear, I think coming up next, we are going to go live to the Cesta Cyclones versus the Wall Warriors, Miami Magic City Casino Fronton. Let's go there live.
Hi, live.
Wow, that's good.
Very nice.
All right. Very
nice. Brought to you by Miller High Life.
It's actually, they're sponsored by High Life, like the Cigar City beer.
Oh, yeah. I like it. That's an IPA, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'll be tipping back a couple of those in the suite, I'll tell you that.
We are at Magic City Casino in Miami, Florida, home of Magic City High Life. And Chris Cody is making his debut tonight as owner of the Cesta Cyclones. We're in the middle of a great match. It's fantastic. We're going to have speak with some of the celebrities here tonight. Erlene Cody, how would you put into words how thrilled you must be that your son is an owner of a highlight team?
It's really, I'm speechless. It's so thrilling.
Is it?
It's the most amazing thing I can almost remember since he was born.
Wow. How about that?
You're mom?
Yes. Oh, listen, we got the owner here. I thought you were too busy to speak.
I can't believe that I just looked over and your idea of content is interviewing mom.
Damn right it is. Can you do better than her? That's the question.
I mean, I'm excited. It's going well. It's going well so far.
How about Manny's comeback?
Manny, I mean, just what an effort. Yeah. What a moment. Honestly, the crowd got behind him. There was a Go Cones chant. Yes, it's cones, not clones.
Yeah.
The energy in this place, it's just, it's electric. And I'm,
And
you are really taking advantage of the Sheets and Giggles guy buying all this beer.
No, I appreciate that. Colin from Sheets and Giggles, who we'll talk to in a minute. But, hey, look, it's Mike Ryan. Mike, can you put into words how thrilled you must be?
Are you going to tell people what
Not at all. How thrilled you must be that Chris Cody is an owner of a highlight team?
I'm happy to get the invite. When he told me that he was purchasing a highlight team, I couldn't contain my excitement. Right. And I think you can tell by today's crowd, he's bringing the sport back.
No, he really is. Single-handedly, almost.
Yeah, that's what everybody here is telling me. They haven't seen a crowd like this since the 80s.
That's right.
That's what they're saying.
You know, I'm a little disappointed that Joey couldn't, the legendary Joey is not here. He stiffed us, but...
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed, too. I was led to believe that he'd be here, but there are plenty of luminaries here.
There are. And there's another one, Roy Bellamy. Let me see what he has to say. Thanks, Mike. Hey, Roy. I'm Greg Cody, correspondent for the Greg Cody Show podcast.
Hello, Greg.
You're a luminary.
I am.
How does it feel that your coworker and friend, Chris Cody, has risen to the level of actually owning a highlight team?
Well, I'm proud of him. He's worked hard for this. He's put in the effort. I just need him to know that as an owner, he cannot bet on his own team.
Uh-oh.
That's illegal. So he needs to make sure that he avoids all of the betting sites. You can't go to DraftKings, unfortunately.
Wow.
But I'm very proud of him. He's worked hard for it, and hopefully his team wins the big one.
Yeah, I hope so. So in other words, he can't go down that Pete Rose path, am I right?
No, he would be banned from the Hall of Fame if he did that. And you can't do that because he's on track for the Highlight Hall of Fame.
I think he is.
Yes, I think he is too.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a Highlight Hall of Fame, but now that you mention it, I think he's on track.
I think so too.
All right, thanks, Roy.
You got it.
Enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
Remember, the beers are on me.
You bet it is.
Yeah, not really. They're on Sheets and Giggles, but that's okay.
You bet it is.
Thank you. That's right. What an honored guest this is. I'm Greg Cody.
Are you about to conduct through laughter a sideline interview?
I'm Greg Cody from the Greg Cody Show podcast.
Are you doing something that is going to appear on the podcast now?
Yeah, unless you don't want it to.
That's fine.
Okay. No, we'd do it anyway, but you'd be angry and we'd get over it. Seriously, how proud you must be. It must be like almost like a father moment where you're watching one of your pupils, Chris Cody, debut as a highlight owner. It must be like a career highlight for you almost.
I would equate the pride to the first time your son or daughter shits a diaper.
Right.
And then you get to clean it up and,
That's a good analogy. Heartfelt.
It's the closest thing that I can imagine to what I'm feeling right now. Just like the smell. Like it's one of these rancid, rancid baby shits.
Sure.
That you don't understand how such a little thing made such a big smell and so much messiness. It's like that.
Yeah. I feel like this is taking a dark turn.
I don't believe it's dark. I believe it's a liquidy sort of brown.
Okay.
That what we're talking
about. All right. We may have to edit this out. But thank you anyway. No, it's fine. It's good. I was looking for heartfelt, but it's cool. It's great.
You want me to come to this said casino to watch an exhibition match on the last fronton court that there is anywhere in America where people are playing as your son comes out here with a cowboy hat and a cane.
Right. My dad's cane, by the way, parenthetically. My late father's cane, Wild Bill Cody. Go on.
And you want me to be filled with syrupy sentiments.
Yes, thank you.
As we are in a corner of Miami that at best can be described as charmingly grimy.
Yes, that's correct. Ladies and gentlemen, I've known Dan a long time. Never heard this kind of emotion from him. And we really appreciate it. Dan, thank you. Enjoy. The drinks are all on me. Me and Sheets and Giggles, mostly him. So we thank you very much. Thanks for being here.
I want to keep being interviewed.
All right. Well, what else do you got to say?
I just want to talk about how moved I am.
How about Deshaun Watson, huh?
You want some exclusive?
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, whatever you got. What's bigger, Deshaun Watson going to Cleveland or Manny coming back in that second set in highlight tonight? Put that in perspective for us. Because Manny was on fire. I mean, the guy loses the first set or the first match and he comes back.
He's got a stomach ache as well.
He was visibly shaken, but he comes back to win two straight. I mean, it was one of my highlights, really. It was great.
I love that the Cyclones, in my lifetime, I've watched a lot of highlights.
Yeah, I know you
have. And I believe that Chris Cody's team has more players on it who are spending the whole time pulling up their pants than any highlight team I've ever seen.
Yeah, damn right they do.
They like watch this guy, Manu here. Watch every time he moves in any way, he's got to pull up his pants.
Yeah, that's Manu Ginobili, the former NBA player. Christopher spares no expense.
That's my new, you don't Ginobili me.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Valerie, what do you think?
I think Dan just really wants to be interviewed more. Like,
I think he does. It's fantastic. I just said fantastic, but I don't know what dollar here because I'm on my own time. Thank you all. Really appreciate it. Thank you. We're going to wrap this up soon, but we're with the owner's wife. We're in the owner's box speaking to Christy. Put into words how proud you must be right now.
There are no words to describe how proud I am.
Yeah, but if there were.
Christy alone.
But if there were words, what would you say?
And can't put into words how
right.
I feel.
No, I understand. Hey, look, it's Jessica Smetana. I know you're a huge High Life fan. What emotions are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling really excited. I feel like there's an energy in the air that High Life has been revived in the city of Miami, and it feels like we're on the brink of something here, Greg.
I think so, and who gets credit for all that?
Obviously you, because it's your show. It's the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody,
wow.
And you're the one who gave birth to Chris. Well, your wife did, I guess. But, you know, you were part of it, so I guess you get a lot of the credit.
Wow, I didn't expect that. Thank you so much, Jess.
That is what you expected. That's why you asked
me. It is entirely. Thank you. Appreciate that. And, you know, we'll be back to wrap up in just a minute. Night has ended.
I'm talking to the other end.
It's a giant.
Other end is where
the night has ended. It's a gigantic night for the Cesta Cyclones.
Okay.
Owner Chris Cody, how would you analyze it?
I'm so excited. My voice is gone. The energy in this room tonight was magical. This team's going all the way. We took over first place. We're not giving it back. I've done so much content tonight that I'm kind of over this, so
yeah.
I don't really like that you have a mic in front of my face.
I hear
right
that
now.
Right now.
But I'm just ecstatic. What a night. The energy in here was, like, genuine. I was thinking that it might be a little sad, but it was not sad
it
at
was
all.
Happy. It was happy.
It was
epic.
Happy. Everyone
yeah.
had fun. There was a lot of high fives. My team went crazy. I just
yeah.
embraced with Carballo.
Yep.
I mean, my team came over. They were excited. We were here. We're excited. They're here. It was a moment. We had
chick
a moment.
Check.
We had a moment. Why are you saying that? That's just a random highlight.
It's a highlight for a chick check.
Okay.
Well, I'm telling you.
I had a genuine connection with my guys, and I love these guys, and we're going all the way.
And you should.
Go Clones.
Yeah. Cesta Bowl. All right. Thank you. See you later.
Do you know how to stop the recording?
I don't, but I have one more thing to say. Hang on.
Okay.
We're going to wrap up, but a joyous evening. I want to say one more thing. An expression in High Life is chula. That's when a ball hits the back wall and the floor at the same time. It's almost impossible to return. So in honor of Don Shula, anytime we get a chula, henceforth, the crowd wants to stand as one and say, Don Chula! Thank you, everything. Thanks, Pod Family. See you next week. Bye.